I want to thank God for salvation tonight. I know that's not what I'm preaching on, but I tell you, it wasn't me that could save me. There's nothing I could do. There's nothing that anybody could do, but it was God and His blood sacrificed for me tonight that would have been saved me. I look to thank all the time with those blood glasses. That's what I call them, because He doesn't see me. He has to put something on them that was of His to be able to see me. Thank God for the blood tonight. We have a bloody gospel tonight. Thank God for it. And if you would tonight, open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. We'll be starting in verse 16, if you'll stand in the reading of the Word of God tonight. Habakkuk, chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 16. In verse 16 it says, "And when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, had the voice of the rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He cometh unto the people, He will invade them with His troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me walk upon my hind places to the chief singer with my stringed instruments." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for salvation. I want to thank You, Lord, for the blood. I want to thank You, Lord, for dying on that old rugged cross, for hanging between heaven and hell for me tonight. Because, Lord, if it wasn't for You, I'd be on my way to hell. I might be in hell tonight if it wasn't for You. God, I just want to be a help tonight. God, I pray, Lord, You'll help me, because I can't do this without You. It takes You and You alone. We can't have a church service without You. We need Your presence tonight. Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for what You've done and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I get started, I want to thank Brother Camp and his church for having me over. I love the Camps. They're dear friends of mine. They've watched me grow up, and they're dear to my heart. I love y'all. Y'all very sweet to me, and you'll never know what this means to me. But I want to look at Habakkuk here. If you go back to, I believe it starts in verses 16 and 17, Habakkuk lost everything. Lost his vineyard. His livestock, the enemy destroyed everything, emptied his livestock and everything. And, you know, in this life, we're going to lose some stuff. We're going to go through trials. We're going through tribulations. But the thing I want to look at the most important is how to thank God in the hard times. You know, because if you're not careful, if you don't bless God, you will blame God. And I can say that I've done both. I've done both. Habakkuk here, though, it just amazes me. He rejoices in the God of his salvation. He is so happy. You don't see one, you know, he lost everything. You know, a lot of us, if we, you know, lose a hangnail, we're sad for a whole week. I don't think we know anymore what true hardship is anymore. Because, see, the hardest times in our life bring the greatest joy for the Lord. The hardest times that we'll go through will bring the greatest joy. And you know, we'll go through down on this earth. You know, this life ain't supposed to be easy. If you're saved and you're close to God, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's no way around it. And if it's not hard for you, you might need to check up. Just saying. But as we look at Habakkuk here, I want to look at the first point here. My first point in verse 18. And it says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." His world might have been crumbling. Everything might have been turned down for him tonight. But he could still at the end of the day say, "You know what? I've got a home in heaven. I'm saved by the grace of God. He's done something in me that no one else could offer." He could rejoice in the God of his salvation. And you know, I'm going to give some examples, and I've not dealt with a lot of heartaches myself, but I've dealt with a few. But at the end of the day, I can always go back. My life could always be harder. Something could always be worse. But I can lay my head down at night. And I can thank God I'm not going to hell. I can thank God that I have an eternity on the other side. I can rejoice in the salvation because I'm not going to hell. I don't have to spend 1 second. I don't have to spend one time down there. I'm going to heaven. What could be better than that? The Bible says we're just pilgrims passing through. It doesn't say rich people. You know, I mean, if I don't have much down here, that's just fine with me. I don't need much because the more things you have, the more problems you have. And I don't want problems. And I've already accumulated some of my own. Some people know what I'm talking about. But you'll get through it. But, you know, I can also rejoice in my salvation because I'm going to heaven. Eternity forever. I have a home on the other side. But I also want to look at this. You know, I want to help us tonight because, when you thank God for it, you're putting Him first. And when you put Him first, it puts everything on the back burner. And we need to. Because, you know, our troubles are, if you really think about it, are not really that big compared to God. They're not. I think my problems are really bad until I look at someone else that's been through a lot worse. And I'm like, you know, God, You've taken care of me. Still got food on my plate. You get me, you know, back and forth to school. You get me back and forth to work. I don't have nothing to complain about. Who am I to sit here and not be thankful for the small blessings of God? We always want to look at the bad side of things. I don't get it. Christians nowadays are the saddest people in the world. What is there to be sad about? He lost everything. What did he do? He rejoiced at what God did in his life. Why can't we do the same thing? You know, I'll never forget this. You know, we can rejoice in salvation, but we can also rejoice in the others that have gone before us. You know, I've lost some family members. I've lost some family members in my life. And you know, earthly, it's destroying. Because you build a relationship with these people. They leave an impact on your life. But, you know, I'll never forget. I was a young boy in my, it's been 4 or 5 years ago since Papa's died, hasn't he? A.C. Durham, a patriarch of my family. He prayed for everybody to be called to preach, to be point of the fact. So I'm a walking miracle, or not a walking miracle, but a walking answered prayer from him. Yes, sir. But, you know, I'll never forget he had strokes on and off, you know, and he had many strokes, and those lead up to a big one. I'm not going to sit here and waste your time. But that morning, it was about 3 or 4 a.m., and I didn't know this. Mom and Dad kept me in the bed, but when I got up, he was on life support. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I was a man that prayed for people that are lost in our family that need the Lord. I was the only man that prayed for Shane, my dad back there. He'd go back there and witness to my dad. He'd get my Nana back on the right track after some things in our life. You know, he was the glue that held our family together. And I'm thinking, you know, as a young gentleman, I'm thinking I've lost everything. I've lost the one that's prayed for me. I've lost the one that's been there for me, taught me some things in my life. But he gets up there and they said the family needs to come in. He ain't got much longer. He's on life support. So we get up there, and there's a reverend or whatever you want to call him, but he leaves shortly. Chaplain. He was a moron is what he was. He wasn't of the Lord. He was not of the Lord. But we get in there, and the family starts to join in there, and his body's just rustling, and, you know, he's moving around. He's uncomfortable. But I'm not raising up my pastor, you know, or my uncle, but he begins to pray, and God just swoops down. The Holy Ghost begins to move in that place because we're not just praying for to help us, but we're praying Him home. Because shortly after he got done praying, his body got real still. It was almost like, all right, boys, I'm ready to go home. You've okayed for me to go home for the Lord. In that place of squalling, but you know, we can rejoice in the others that have gone on before us tonight. They have laid the foundation. We don't have nothing to worry about. See, we wouldn't have nothing if they didn't do it before us this morning. It just wouldn't be that way. If it was not for him taking the call to preach, if it wasn't him pastoring all them years, praying for the people that were lost, praying for me to take the call, where would I be? What do I have to worry about? Why can't I be thankful just for a little while? I got another story. I'm not trying to waste your time, but it's just what's on my heart. So, I had another grandfather. Name was Jim Sparks. Loved the Lord with all his heart, give you the shirt off his back. And he, I can't remember exactly what he had, but I think COVID hit him pretty hard, is what I come to the conclusion of, and it just ended up taking his life. And as all that's going down, we're all in shock because, you know, I mean, I didn't have an actual grandfather on that side, so he filled the gap. Yeah. And I had a good godly grandfather that filled the gap for me. But as that day, you know, when we're sitting there the day after, and it was Wednesday evening. It was me, Cameron, my mom and dad, and it was Manaloo. And we're sitting down, and as we're preparing the table, we're sitting there getting everything ready. We began to sit down. And someone wasn't there. Someone that prayed for me as well. Watched me grow up. Watched me sing all the songs of Zion and just enjoyed watching me grow up in the Lord. We sat down and the reality set into my life. But as we're sitting there weeping, it started to change a little bit. After that day, and it went on because I don't know where he was at. He's not burning in hell. He's on the other side. And every day, and see what, it was hard for my Nana. That was the second husband she went through. She lost both of hers. And I think she's one of the strongest women in here because every day she goes, I'm praying for you. God's taking care of me. He keeps me alive. I'm walking each step with grace. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I'm not trying to work off your emotions, but there's some things that's happened in my life, but you can't always look at the bad. You may lose people in your life. You may have some situations going on, but you can rejoice in the point of the fact that they're going to heaven and that you'll reunite with them one day, because this is not my home. This was not their home. And one day our souls will reunite with kindred spirits over there. Thank God that I'll meet my grandparents again. Thank God the people that prayed for me and laid the foundation will be on the other side. I see the rejoicing, the salvation, the ones that's been gone before us, but I also want to see the salvation that's to come in others. Got another situation. It's the only way I can relate. Things happen in my life. What was it, 2011, 2012, y'all had y'all's actions? 2013. I was a real young boy then too, and I remember it like it was yesterday. We were sitting at Nana's house again, Nana Lou's house, and they were coming back. I think y'all ate was stationing them at the park place, and y'all had the accident. Well, Mom gets a phone call from Stacy, and I'll never forget the dumbfounded look on my mom's face, you know, of, oh my goodness, what has just happened? I heard y'all were being rushed to the hospital. Didn't know what the day was going to consist of. It was a day of fear, in my opinion, because we are very close to them. I look up to them. That is not just my pastor. That's my uncle. And that's my aunt. But we're going there, and fear's gripped my heart, and I'm squalling my eyes out. I can't even see because you don't know if they're living. You don't know if they're died. You don't know what's going to happen on that way to the hospital, because anything is possible in that ambulance. But I'll never forget this. About a week or so later, Shane comes across the pulpit, I believe. And see, so Mandy had to be shipped different than Shane and Sam. And I thank God for this every day. I look back and I think it's a blessing of God. They were sitting in that ambulance and they're going to the hospital. You know, don't know if Mandy's going to make it out. You know, she broke nearly every one of her ribs, had a hip replacement. And she had it all. Had to relearn how to walk and eat, you name it. But Sam looks across that bed and she looks at, she goes, Dad. She goes, what if this is trying to get to Jason? What if this is a moment to get him saved, open up his eyes? And now he's married, in church, serving the Lord, and as far as I know, he's saved by the grace of God. Sometimes we have to suffer to open that door of the sinner to break down that old heart so someone else will get saved. I'll even go this far. If Mandy did not make it through, it would have been worth it all because her brother got saved because they would have been reunited one day. It would have been worth it all. Yes, it would have been hard. Yes, it would have been tough. But we can thank God because one got saved out of the whole situation. What's not to thank God about that on? Yes, we can look at the situation. It was awful. If you saw that vehicle, it was torn to shreds. But that soul got converted to being saved. Thank God for the salvation that is to come in others. Number two, how to be thankful in the hard times. I want to recognize His strength. Verse number 19, and said, "The Lord is the God of my strength." And see, this goes hand in hand. In those situations, you know, you say, well, how am I going to make it through? You don't know until God gives you that grace. And the grace and mercy. And the only way I've known that is being through those little trials in my life, starting out as a young gentleman. And going through those times and looking back how God brought me through them. And see how God has blessed us. And how God has blessed them and kept Mandy. Mandy's a walking miracle today. God has blessed us, but it's the strength that keeps us moving on. Keeps me going on. And see, when you grow closer to Him, and if you're thinking about, you know, Him, and see, we're so worried about looking at His hands. Shane said this morning. We're so worried about looking at His hands, what He can do for us. But if we just thank Him and keep Him on His face, it's like when Peter was walking out on the water, everything was still because nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered but what God was doing. Him and Jesus, it was just Him, and that's all it was. You can rejoice in the strength because we just need to look at His face. I just want to thank God tonight for Him helping me and growing and just the strength He's given me in some situations. It's good to be saved. I don't care who you are. If you can't say that tonight, you got a problem. It's called a heart problem. Number three, I love this too because we can rely on His promise. I want to flip over to Malachi chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 6. "For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." See, I want to thank God He doesn't change. We can rely on the promise of not changing. This world may change, I may change, but my God is never changing. He stays true day in and day out. When He created the earth until the end of this, when He wraps it up, He is never going to change. That's why He's God. Thank God I can rely on the promise of not changing tonight. Because when I go through my hard times, He's the solid rock I can run to. Thank God tonight. I can be thankful because of His promise. He is so faithful and trusting good to me. I also want to look at the rely of His mercy and everlasting. Thank God for that. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. I don't ask for them. God gives them to me. I don't even have to worry if they're going to be there in the morning. I don't have to worry if I'm like, oh, is God going to give me some mercy and grace today? It's already there. And I don't even have to guess. I don't have to wonder. God's promises are true until the end of time, until we go home. I want to go to Psalms chapter 100. Kind of got ahead of myself. Give me a second here. Psalms 100 verse 5. "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Not just to mine, not just to my grandfather's, but it's going to be to the kids of Lord Gracie down there. It's going to go to her. It's going to the ones after that. It's going to go to everybody. God does not limit His mercy and grace tonight. You can think of that. You say, well, I'm going through this hard time. It's okay. You've got mercy and grace coming the next day. And that's going to help you get through the next step in your life. It's going to help you get through the next trial in your life. Because it's already there. There's nothing. You say, well, preacher, that's easy preaching and hard living. I understand that. I get that. But God never changes. And He knows what you're going through. He died on the cross for us tonight. He hung between heaven and hell for us. He got beat with a cat of nine tails for us. I can assure you our problems are not as bad as what they think. I know they had that car wreck and it was pretty bad, but looking back, everybody's here. They're serving the Lord. Shane still got a ministry going. Brought his daughter back into the fold. What's there not to be thankful about? Yeah, it was hard at the time, but thank God. And these truths can help us to be thankful. There's been so many times that I've blamed Him and not blessed Him. It's a shame that I've done that. If I could go back and change it, I would, because it might have had a different outcome on how my whole life looked like. Because I wish I could go back and call the preacher a little bit earlier. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be funny, because I fought it for years, but had some stuff creep into my life that I shouldn't have. That it was not hardships because of God was allowing it, because I brought them in my own life. And then, yeah, I couldn't be thankful. How can you be thankful when you bring it on yourself? Don't be mad at the road when you're the one that paved it. But I wish I could go back. I just want to thank God for His promises. We can be thankful for rejoicing in salvation, recognize His strength, and rely on His promises.
Amen.
Thank God for all that tonight. Because when it is the hard times in your life, this is what's going to get us through. This is what's going to help you make that next step in life. You're like, I can't make another step. Just do it anyways. Because I can assure you, going forward or standing still is way better than going back. How many times have we had weak Christians that we could have helped, or, you know, helped them be thankful or helped them in their life? Instead of going back, they could have been going forward or standing still. I've been guilty of going back. Don't go back on God tonight. He didn't go back for you. He walked all the way to the cross tonight for you. He didn't give up on us. Why should we give up on Him? Because this life is just but a vapor. We're here for a little while and it's gone. You only have one life to serve the Lord if it's hard or not. If it's hard or not. I want to thank God for... And you need to be thankful for the hard times. Because those hard times help you in the trials to come. You say, well, it's hard right now. I can assure you there's something coming down the road that's going to be a little bit worse. And you say, well, how am I going to get through it, God? Being thankful, looking at His face and not what He can do for us. Because what He can do for us is just momentary. But looking at His face and just keeping our eyes on Him will be forever.
Amen.
And I'm thankful tonight that He's helped me through my hard times. And I've got one more thing I've thought about too. You know, my dad had surgery about a year and a half ago now, I think. It was last January. Yeah, a little over a year ago. And we didn't know how it was going to end up, but he had brain surgery. You can see it looks like a big old horseshoe on his head. But we get down there, you know, and they went and prepped and got all that stuff done. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I had the mindset. You say this is extreme. You don't know what happens on that operating table. I don't care if it's your brain. I don't care if you're getting a hip surgery. Anything's liable on the operating table. I had my mindset all the way down there that morning. I was okay if my dad was not going to come back. I had said in my heart that the Lord had gave me peace. That if dad didn't come back, it was all going to be okay. But we get in there, and they said, well, Mr. Cloud, we got to get you prepped. And he's walking back, and I see them doors. It was like the longest corridor, like the longest hallway I've ever seen in my life. And I feel like the longer he got, the smaller he got. And I said, okay, God, it's in your hands. I can't do nothing, but only you can be with those doctors. But as he gets prepped, and he's ready, and we get back there, and he said, all right, the family can view him one more time. We get back there and we shut the blinds and we begin to pray, and God begins to move down in that little room.
Amen.
I begin to squall, and God's being good to me because of the peace and the joy in our life, because what He's done for us in the past. Little did I know there was a nurse on the outside of that curtain that was squalling her eyes out. We open that curtain back up. She goes, I've never heard nothing like that before. If this whole surgery was to convict that lady and get her on the right track for salvation, it was worth it all tonight. You say, how can you be thankful for your dad having surgery like that? Because there was someone down there that needed it a lot more than he did. He was just a mouthpiece for us to go down there and be a witness to somebody else. It was Metro Atlanta, if that says anything. And so, you never know what God's using you for. So instead of blaming them, let's bless them and thank them for what He's done for us in the past to help us move forward. Brother, I'm done.